Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Genesis 4 and verse 25. Adam made love to his wife again, and she gave birth to a son, named him Seth, saying, God has granted me another child in place of Abel, since Cain killed him. Seth also had a son and named him Enosh. At that time, people began to call on the name of the Lord. And I'd like you to read that verse 26b. At that time, people began to call on the name of the Lord. Go now to Genesis chapter 5 and verse 3. When Adam had lived 130 years, he had a son in his own likeness. In whose likeness? In his own likeness. In his own image. And he named him Seth. After Seth was born, Adam lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Adam lived a total of 930 years. And then he died. Verse 21 of Genesis 5, as we move along. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Verse 24, Enoch walked faithfully with God, and then he was no more, because God took him away. Go to the New Testament now. Hebrews chapter 11. The Hall of Faith. You've heard of the Hall of Fame? This is the Hall of Faith, talking of Enoch in verse 5 and 6, our final verses before we get into the word this morning. By faith, Hebrews 11, 5, by faith Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and he is the reward, and that he rewards those who earnestly or diligently seek him. Let's pray. Father, move in power. Come on, ask God to move in power today. Move in power in the moments that remain. Lord, speak to us at the volume of your word. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would release living understanding in all that's in your heart towards us, towards this great company of people gathered here this morning, and all those online, and all those that'll listen in the future. Holy Spirit, come, mark us, visit us, change us, equip us, release the power of your kingdom in the name of Jesus today. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Turn to the person to the right and the left of you and say, oh, it's gonna be good. You may be seated. An introduction here, getting back to the series that we stopped just before Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday, we preached on Palm Sunday, and then Easter, we preached on Easter, and then right after that was the grand opening, which was last weekend. And so I joyfully get to get back into this message, to this series called Foundations for Life. The world is now called a global village, because of the amount of information you can gather from all kinds of sources on your phone, the devices that you have, from the computer, your laptop, your iPad. You can get news in a moment right now. Of course, they're most likely lying, most of them, so it's hard to tell actually what the truth is anymore. But you can get news right away, and you can resource yourself, and you can download books, and you can read things that are, you know, just amazing amount of knowledge you can get on the internet. I would encourage you to have hard copies of your books, because they're changing history. But we're hoping to fix that. Can you say amen? So we live in a global village where there's so much information out there. And if you don't get grounded in truth, his word is truth. If you don't learn the truth, and an actual fact, an application of this series, the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis are the bedrock of your faith. And if you don't learn the truth the foundational stones from Genesis and the first 11 chapters, then your doctrine will be askewed, will be messed up, will be crooked. All of these chapters, these first 11 chapters, and it's about to get red hot. This is a profound chapter, but the faith of the Christian is to be founded on the bedrock of God's word. It is unchangeable, it is immutable, it is inerrant, and it is everlasting. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will remain, will endure forever. So if you're gonna build your life on something, it ought to be the truth of God's word. Can I get an amen in the house of God? So you gotta learn the word. I find myself torn between being a revivalist and flowing in the power of the Holy Ghost and signs and wonders, and being a pastor that rightly divides the word and preaches vision and imparts into you. I hold the place, really both places I hold here. The fivefold gifts are on display in this house, and we're so grateful for that. But on Sunday mornings, I've been given clear instruction by the Holy Spirit to pastor in the midst of revival. So these messages that I preach to you, they're not always the kind where you just want to run around the church and scream and holler and jump over the pews, although you never know. But they're powerful biblical truth that if you don't get this, you will... Well, I'm gonna stand before God if I don't teach it to you. And this is actually the third time I've moved through these chapters of the book of Genesis. In a quick review, we talked about let there be light. Talked about God as the creator. He's not the former creator, he's still creating. And that's important to know. He created the heavens and the earth. He spoke and made light. He spoke and made the sea and everything in it. But he made man in his own image. And he breathed the breath of God into mankind, which is the second message about who am I? Most people don't know who they are. You didn't rise out of some primordial slime. You didn't evolve out of millions of years of evolution that you were once a tadpole and now you're a human being. No, you're made in God's image. You didn't come from an ape. You didn't come from some other animal kingdom. You're a human being. And in actual fact, animals do have the breath of life, but not the breath of life that you have. An animal has a spirit, but it's not the same spirit you have. And this is a quick review, because we want to get all on the same page where we're at here this morning. Animals have nephesh. It's a Hebrew word for spirit, but it's not the spirit of God. A man, a woman, there's only two, man and woman, we talked about that. I said there's only two, men and women, boy and girl. There's not LGBTQ plus. What is plus? Can you tell me what plus is? Is that something they haven't invented yet? There's only men and women, and if you're caught in the bondage of the swirl of that defilement, you can be healed, you can be set free, and I'm really glad you're here. We will help you. We don't look down our nose at you. It's just sin, and you can be delivered. Can I get a better amen than that? And we love people, but we hate sin, and so does God, and it'll cause you to be destroyed. I mean, how is it that a nation is all of a sudden gone to conspire and agree that our sons and daughters should be castrated? Yes, let's all sign up for that. I'm being sarcastic. Why would you sign up for that? It would only be a devil that would sign you up for that. You are made a man and you are made a woman, and my blood pressure is going up right now. And I preached on that. I preached on who am I. You need to know who you are. You're made in God's image. You're not made in anybody else's image. You're made in God's image. Can I get a big, healthy amen? Yeah. All right. And we talked next about the truth of sex and marriage. Another sizzling message that I'm surprised we didn't get kicked off the internet, because I could care less. We have our own stream. And if you ever find us no longer on YouTube and you find us no longer on Facebook, it's been because they judged us for the things that we've said, perhaps as hate crime. But the truth is, we'll speak truth no matter what anybody else says about it, with humility by the grace of God, with truth and love, speaking the truth and love. You gotta have love. You can speak the truth and not have love, and that'll be wrong also. You need to speak the truth in love, which we endeavor to do, but we will not stop. No matter what happens, I will never allow them to steal our right to gather. I will never allow them to steal our right to assemble. I will never allow them to steal our right. Come on, somebody, give an amen. Oh, I'm telling you, there's coming another wave of some concocted thing that now that they know that they can rip off our rights. Not here, not Alaska. Can't take our guns. And you can't stop us from gathering together. We will gather. The truth about sex and marriage, all of these are available on YouTube currently. But if you do find us no longer on, we have our own stream. Kingsalaska.com. Then we then talked about overcoming temptation, talked about the original sin and overcoming temptation. All of us will face temptation. You need to learn how to overcome that. We talked about giving to God, which I referenced in our offering when we received our tithes and when we received the building offering. Talked about giving to God. It is a part of your life. You need to learn about that. You need to learn to be a giver. You need to learn to tithe. You need to learn to give. Amen. Then we talked about, now we're talking about walking with God. This is a powerful text of scripture called walking with God. Now, I went ahead and jumped over a section on Cain, although we referenced it in the giving to God. You see this ungodly line of Cain, and then you see the godly line of Seth. And I skipped over some of that, but let me say this, that what you see now is sin is not something that's outside of man. Sin is now something that's inside of man. And there's a Cain in every one of you, every one of us, and we need to learn to put him down. Can you say amen? So chapter 5 begins this new section, and it traces the godly line. Today's message is called Walking with God. Everybody say, I want to walk with God. Everybody say, I'm going to walk with God. Say it. I'm going to walk with God. And fascinating in Genesis 5 and verse 1, Genesis 4 traces the godless line of Cain, goes down to the seventh generation, and closes the account, Genesis 4, with the birth of Seth, who's the appointed successor to Abel. But what's fascinating to me, and I didn't have it in your notes, but in Genesis 5 and verse 1, it says this. These are the generations of Adam. I want you to say that. These are the generations of Adam. That particular form, the language that's used there in the Hebrew, very unusual. It's not used any other time in all of the Old Testament. The only time it's used in Scripture is only one other time, and that's in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1. It said, these are the generations of Jesus Christ. And it gives a lineage of Jesus. There is a clear language being spoken by the Spirit, I believe. These are the generations of Adam talking about basically the fallenness of mankind. Now, understand clearly that through Seth would come, the Jewish people, through Seth would come the Messiah. But there's this, when it's used only twice in Scripture, these are the generations of Adam, these are the generations of Jesus. It's like a picture of the death generation and the last Adam. It's a picture of death coming through Adam, but leaving through the last Adam. His name is Jesus. It's a picture of the book of death, if you will, and the book of life of those who've given their lives to Christ. It's a beautiful picture. Beautiful indeed. I had you repeat this. Genesis 5 and 3. When Adam had lived 130 years, he had a son in his own likeness in his own image. It didn't make a mistake. It doesn't say the likeness in the image of God, although we are made in the likeness of the image of God. It's saying something very different. Please listen to me. In the image of Adam, what's it saying? It's saying sin is now, Adam has been cut off, death has been released. And now that sin nature is now in the generations of Adam. Understand what he's saying. So it's mankind now cut off from the garden, cut off from walking with God in the cool of the day to being left of his own accord. And it's a picture of what theologians say is the universal depravity, or the doctrine of universal depravity. You're like, universal what? Depravity. And understand what I'm trying to do. We have people from all walks of life, young and old, educated, uneducated, and many in the process of being educated. And let me say this, the more you get educated, if you're honest, you realize you don't know very much about very much. So I am attempting to preach to you and teach to you from the deep end of the pool, hence the word universal depravity, the doctrine of universal depravity, which is this. All man is sinned. All man is broken. All man is separated from God. And Paul writes about that. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Can I get an amen? I'm trying to bring the deep end of the pool as well as the shallow end. And it's about to get real deep, but I'll make it plain so you can swim there. Are you ready? Okay. There's hope. The first thing here is there's hope, right in your notes, that we can all foster a godly lineage. Listen, you might have come from a long line of pimps. I don't know where you came from. You might have come from a long line of prostitutes. You know, or a long line of drug addicts. Or you might have come from some long godly line. The truth is, if you're under the sound of my voice, you can make a godly lineage today. You can decide today that I'm no longer going to be in the lineage of a broken family that gets divorced, that lives under the curse. I'm no longer going to live that way. I want all that God has for me. Can I get an amen in the house of God? Come on, I want all that God has. You can live under the blessing of God. You say, well, you don't know where I came from. No. No, you don't understand how God can take out your heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh, how God can wipe out your sin and throw it as far as the east is from the west, and he can reverse the curse. You don't have to live. Can I preach in here? You don't have to live under the curse. You can live under the blessing of God. We can all foster a godly lineage. As I said in the first service, I'll say again now, that it is my deep, sincere prayer, my wife and I, Pastor Karen on the front row, Karen redeeming all Karens around the world, that we would pass on to our children that which God has given to us, and our ceiling would then be their floor. And they would go on to do great exploits. They would go on to do even greater things. You want to pass on the blessing of a godly lineage. The way that you live, the way that you act, the way that you talk, the way that you walk, the way that you live your life before God will be imparted into your children, and that will then be passed on to the next generation. Come on, somebody say, oh me, or oh my, or say something. I mean, that's heavy. Purpose of my life is to become who God's intended me to be. I'm focused on it. I'm committed to it because I understand it's not even about my life in the end. It's about lives after 100 years from now. Nobody ever going to know my name. But maybe, I'm going to say it a little bit more bold. But if I live my life rightly, and I pass that on to my children, should the Lord tarry 100 years from now, there'll be a family in the earth that's serving God, that's declaring the goodness of God. Now, I don't think we have 100 years, but how is your family going to do if they followed what you're doing? Let's have a praise break. Amen. Praise God, Pastor Daniel. Hey. Come on, how are they going to do if they do what you did? We better move on. Insights from the godly line. In your notes, it says the gospel encrypted in the Torah. The gospel is encrypted in the Torah. And I'll repeat this phrase, but the truth is this, that I am sure that a group of rabbis did not get together to hide within the Torah. Now, the Torah is the Pentateuch, the Greek word Pentateuch, penta meaning five, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. It's called the Pentateuch, also called the Torah. Also called the what? The Torah, and encrypted right here in the first generations from Adam on to Noah, encrypted is a message. And I've shared this before, but many people have not seen it, and we're going to go ahead and begin to put these names on the screen. But let me give you some context. My name is Daniel. That's my first name. My last name is Bracken. Sounds awesome. It's a little whimsical, the last name, the meaning, but the first name, Daniel, means God is my judge. Bracken is some sort of a fern. Let's see. Bracken. Yeah, but it's a cute little fern. Anyway, Karen, Pastor Karen, her name means pure one. Also means shofar. It's interesting. What does your name mean? Names mean things. And when naming a child, I would encourage you as a believer to pray and get a name for your child. And I love biblical names. And you know, you might not have a biblical name, and that's okay. But names mean things. And so, you know, Jezebel would probably be the bad name for your daughter. Athaliah would be another bad name. Ahab, probably don't want to name your little boy Ahab. Okay. So understanding that, Adam means man. What's Adam mean? Man. The Hebrew name for man is Adam. The next in the lineage, going 10 generations, the next in the lineage is Seth. Seth means appointed. What does Seth mean? Appointed. Next is Enosh. Enosh means mortal. Next comes Canaan. Canaan means sorrow. Mahalalel is next in the generations. Mahalalel. Everybody say Mahalalel. Can I say it faster? Mahalalel. Say it 10 times. Mahalalel, Mahalalel, Mahalalel. Now you're praying in tongues. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm joking. Everybody say Mahalalel. What does it mean? The blessed God. Next comes Jared. Is that right? Jared means shall come down. Next in the lineage, Enoch. Means what? Yes. Next, Methuselah, which means his death shall bring, or his death initiates. Watch this. Next in the lineage, Lamech, which means the despairing. And lastly is Noah. Lastly is Noah, which means rest or comfort. Put it all together. Line it up and read it in a sentence, and here's what it says. Man is appointed mortal sorrow, but the blessed God shall come down teaching that his death shall bring the despairing rest. It'd be a good time to say hallelujah. I'm telling you, God, you can leave it up. Some of you want to take some pictures, go ahead. God, encrypted in the Torah, encrypted in the Pentateuch, brought forth the truth of the gospel. And I am positive, you know what it is? It's beautiful evidence that there's no way that man wrote this book. It is written by men under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so rabbis, I'm positive, didn't conspire in the midst of their venerated Torah to hide the Christian good news. I'm pretty sure of that. You'll never convince me of that. The gospel's true. The blessed God came down. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Oh, the most beautiful name. The name of the blessed God is Jesus, who came down teaching, demonstrating his death brings us the despairing rest. Of course, there's other meanings here in the direct context of which we're preaching to you. First of all, in your notes now, Seth receives the blessing of the firstborn. Should have been Cain's. Cain was the firstborn, but he forfeited it. He aborted the plan of God. And I'll say to you that we can all abort God's plan for our life by our sin. Listen. Just because you're in church today doesn't mean you're going to fulfill purpose and destiny. You can abort the plan of God. All you have to do is reject him, turn from him. The only sin God can't forgive you of is rejecting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, not repenting and receiving what he's purchased for you. We can all abort the plan of God, and that's what Cain does. Cain aborts the plan of God, and I made my children memorize this, and I would encourage you to have your children memorize it too. In fact, all of you that are willing, parents, you have kids in your house, get this scripture, have your children memorize it. Because I've got 50-year-olds that act like children that actually don't know, none of you here, of course. We've got 50-year-olds. I've known 50-year-olds, 60-year-olds that still act like a child and don't know why the blessing of God is not on their life. Well, it's here, right here. Genesis 4 and verse 7. If you do what is right, now let me stop. Cain and Abel. Abel brings an offering of the firstborn of his flock, the fat of the firstborn. There's blood that's shed. He slaughters an animal because of, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. But Cain decides, I don't have any animals maybe. I'm just working the ground and I have fruit. So I'm going to bring the fruit and he's going to accept my fruit basket. But the Lord doesn't accept fruit baskets. You can only come to God by sacrifice, and the only way you can come to God is by the sacrifice of blood. Now what I'm going to do is I'm painting the picture of the Old Testament sacrificial system, tying it into the new revelation of the Lamb of God that was slain before the beginnings of the foundations of the world. It is absolutely mind-blowing what takes place here. And so Abel brings the blood, the fat, blood of the firstborn, it's accepted. Cain brings his fruit basket, it's not accepted, and he's mad. And I've known people, that's the 60-year-old, 70-year-old, heck of God has blessed my life. Maybe you haven't done it right. Okay, so maybe you have a 10-year-old who wants all the blessings that they should have as 10 years old, but if they're not done it right, that's why you should have your kids get this down. Get this, watch this. Genesis 4 and verse 7, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? Question mark. In other words, if you do what's right according to the way that God prescribes right, there's a way of being right. The only way you can be really righteous is by receiving Jesus now. But this is types and shadows pointing to prophetically Jesus as the Lamb of God. Can I get an amen? And many people want the full blessing of God, but they've not lived according to God's word. And so you want God to bless you, but you go to church when it's Christmas and Easter. I mean, obviously I'm not talking to you. You're all here today. You don't open your Bible. You don't pray, and you want God to pour out his spirit and have fresh fire on you and your family. It doesn't work like that. I got like five people saying amen. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? And the answer is yes. If you do what's right, you're going to be accepted. But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It's a picture of the enemies prowling around. New Testament, I believe, is Peter, like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The enemy's right there. If you do the right thing, you won't have to worry about that. Sin is crouching at the door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. Cain was supposed to be the blessed one, but he forfeited it. And I made my children memorize it because I told them, if you do the right thing, you'll get rewarded and rewarded and blessed and blessed and blessed. If you do the wrong thing, you're going to get consequences. And if you don't learn to give your kids consequences, see, there's many people that didn't have a father, didn't have a mother, that don't learn to have consequences. There's consequences. Oh, God will forgive you, but you still have consequences. How many of you have consequences? I remember my mama, who's on the second row here. Love you, Mom. She said this to me. She said, son, you sowed a lot of bad seeds before you came to Jesus. Now we're going to pray for crop failure. Give me your hand. Praise God for crop failure. Come on, some of you need a crop failure. Amen. But you want to sow good seeds. Thank God for his mercy. So Cain was supposed to be the blessed one, but he wasn't. So he got replaced. And the point of that is simply this. None of us are indispensable. All of us can be replaced. Everyone here could be replaced. He can use anybody. He can use you. And he can use a donkey too. So preachers tend to be the worst ones, especially when God starts pouring out his spirit and starts doing notable miracles and signs and wonders and thousands of people getting saved and healed and delivered. They can be the worst ones. They think like preachers, pastors, leaders, world leaders, they put their pants on one leg at a time. All of us are the same, and God can replace any one of us at any moment. So you just let that keep you in your place. You humbly rock. Come on. And you'll see that God's blessing is poured down through the family line. Seth's line was a godly line. And you'll see that they called on the Lord. They prayed. It's a beautiful picture. Generational blessings, generational curses. We're going to get there when we get to Noah. It's up to you whether you're going to release generational blessings on your family or you're going to release generational curses. You pick. It's not some random thing. It's not random. Oh, you're so lucky. You're just so blessed like that. Luck has nothing to do with it. It has everything to do with receiving Jesus and changing the way you think, changing your behavior, learning to live right, repenting of your sin on a daily basis, and asking God to help you and living in covenant relationship with people who will tell you to shut up and sit down when you're messed up. You'll be like, you ain't going to tell me to shut up. That's why you'll still stay in the curse. Amen, Pastor Daniel. Preach, preach it. We all need, I'm so thankful for Dr. Morocco and how he's rebuked me over the years. I don't really like it. I don't like getting rebuked, but I want the blessing of God. And come on, those whom the Lord loves, it says in the Hebrews, those whom the Lord loves, he chastises. If you haven't been corrected by the Lord recently, you might be illegitimate. He doesn't bless your mess. He blesses his word. He blesses faith. He blesses the things of the kingdom. You do what's right, you get the blessing. Do what's wrong, you get the curse. I'm born again. Yeah, I know. Are you saying a Christian can be under a curse? Yes. Yes, I know many people that name the name of Jesus and have all kinds of brokenness in their life. You do not have to stay broken. You don't have to stay like that. You can be healed. Can I get an amen? You can be set free. You can be made whole. And even leaders across America, they're broken. Church leaders. Broken pastors make broken churches. Broken fathers make broken sons. Broken mothers make broken daughters. And so we all need to be healed. Come on, lift your hands to heaven. Oh, God, help us. Help us, Lord. My God, I feel the presence of the Lord. In Exodus chapter 29 and 29, you see the priestly anointing that's upon Aaron is passed on to his children and is supposed to be passed on to his children's children. In Exodus 29, 29, I'll paraphrase, but I'm close. And the garments of Aaron shall be anointed and his sons therein. And the picture is that the high priest Aaron has a high priestly garment, and then oil would be poured over him in the high priestly anointing and the separation and this being set apart for the service unto the Lord. Then when Aaron passes, his garment is removed and it is placed upon his sons. And his sons then receive a fresh oil or impartation or anointing upon that same garment. And when he passes it on to his sons, it would be the same. It's a picture of a synergy of anointing. The anointing on the father is then also to be on the son, but the son carries his own anointing or enablement or empowerment or unction. And it's supposed to be passed down from generation to generation. Listen to this. Your family should be blessed right now because of the way that you live. And then you got to fight your way into it at first because maybe mom and dad didn't pass you on the best bill of goods. If they did, praise God. But if they didn't, buck up, grow a spine. And can I preach in here? And change your stars. In fact, we don't even believe in that. Destiny. Fate, I should say. Fate. We don't believe in fate. You can write, you can rewrite your own story. History books are waiting to be written about a people who would believe God and change their lives. You don't have to stay broken. Man, I'm preaching myself happy. You don't have to stay disgusted. You don't have to be like that. You can be free. You can be healed. You can be delivered. You can be prospered. You can be blessed. You can walk in favor. You can walk in favor. You'd be like, what's that behind you? Oh, that's goodness and mercy. They just follow me everywhere I go. What's behind you? Goodness and mercy. But it's not by accident. It's not a sloppy agape. You can change your life. You can change your generations. Oh, so much here. I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. And it's the God's honest truth, and I'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ for what I'm about to say. In all the years I've been a part of this church, and we got saved here, basically, And we've been here for I don't know how many years and how many months and weeks. You can ask Pastor Karen, she'll give the exact date. And in the time that we've been here and we haven't left, and I can count pretty much on one hand, especially in the formative years of us growing in Christ, we only missed church twice that I remember in those early years. We went to the beach one Sunday morning. Do you remember that? We're like, you know what? Man, we've been in church, like, let's just go to the beach. We went to the beach and they had like an outpouring of the Spirit of God, of course. Of course, I go to the beach and we're gonna go Sunday night. We weren't gonna go Sunday morning. And I'll never forget, dude, where were you? Like, Jesus came, he laid hands on everybody. What happened? I'm like, oh, Jesus. I thought, I'm not doing that again. Now, you can be religious and weird and controlling and strange about that, but there's something about making a covenant commitment to a local church. And it is rare, not so much here, but it's rare across America. These people go to church when they want to. And so here's the statement. In all the years that we've been coming, and we've committed by the grace of God and mercy of God, it wasn't because of some great character we had. We've grown character. God's helped us painfully at times. Every family we've ever known that have come and locked in and committed, their whole family gets saved. The blessing of God comes upon them. Their whole family gets saved. Their babies get saved. And the blessing of God, you see it on whole families. I cannot say that for people who show up periodically when they feel like it. You can't say that about them because that's not what we see. We see divorce. We see, and understand there's reasons for divorce. I get it. But there's something about committing to the local church and seeing the generations blessed going down the family line. Let's move on. They called on the name of the Lord. It's the first reference to prayer. Verse 26b. At that time, men began to call on the name of the Lord. That's a picture of revival. You start calling on the name of the Lord, you start having an outpouring. God starts doing things. You start calling on his name. He starts moving in power. National Day of Prayer on Thursday, we will have the church open from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. open. Anybody can come and pray. The doors will be open. Sanctuary will be open. There'll be worship playing. Come and seek the Lord. We'll have times that'll be led. Then we have at noon, we've been called on by the Valley Pastors Prayer Network. That's the Valley Pastors Prayer Network. It's a bunch of pastors that get together to pray once a week on Thursday mornings. We've been called on to lead the Wasilla prayer time at noon. Pastor Kirsten Davis will be leading that in my place because I'm going to be on an airplane returning. I won't be back in time, regrettably. But he'll be leading that at noon at the Wasilla City Hall at the flagpole. Come, noon to one. It's 1 hour. You say, well, I can only do 50 minutes. That'll work. Come and represent. Come and pray. Let's pray for Wasilla. Same thing will be happening in Palmer. It's going to be led by another local pastor. I'm not exactly sure which one. It'll be there at Palmer. I think it's at the Annex, if I have that correct. And we'll make a statement about that when we hear the right information. Also, we're having strategic prayer and intercession. What does that mean? At 8:15, we're sending out teams to go into different places that God has revealed to us that we need to go pray. We're gonna go into the high places, we're gonna go to the low places, and we're gonna go where God directs us. Unique assignment. Anybody can go to that, and it's at 8:15. They'll come back, they'll have lunch here, and we do session two, strategic intercession, on the National Day of Prayer. Anybody can come, all right? So why would you do that? Because it's time to call on the name of the Lord, just like they did. They called on the name of the Lord. And what some theologians say as we move along is that they were probably called by his name. In other words, we're Christians. Come on, say, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. That means someone who's received Christ or born again. Not just some ideology, but literally a Christian is to be Christ-like, and the only way to be Christ-like is to be born again. So we call ourselves Christians. Okay. It is said that they called on the name of the Lord, that they were defined by people who called on his name. It's interesting. Long life moving on, and their days are numbered by the Lord. Thank God. We don't no dates are given for Cain's line. But you see, cursing and death, cursing and blessing, life and death are implied. And there's a great contrast between these two, the seventh generation of Cain and Seth. The seventh from Cain is Lamech. This contrast of the godly line and the ungodly line. Lamech is the first polygamist. He's filled with pride and rage. That's the outcome of the ungodly line. And the outcome of the godly line is Seth. Seventh from Seth and Enoch here. And so Enoch is this example of walking with God. And I want to focus on that in the moments that remain this morning. He was a man of faith. Say it with me. He was what? A man of faith. He walked with God. He trusted God. By the fact that it says that he walked with God, it says it twice. It's a picture of day-by-day fellowship. It's a picture of a lot of things. It's a picture of day-by-day fellowship. It's a picture of purpose. They didn't just aimlessly walk, because God doesn't do anything aimlessly. So if he's walking with God, they're going somewhere. And eventually, God took him home. He's translated. It's really kind of amazing. And it's a picture of the New Testament church, which I'll get to. He's translated, and I love the story of a Sunday school teacher and little Johnny. Johnny says, what does it mean that he was no more? He walked with God, and then he was no more. And this Sunday school teacher beautifully said this, well, Johnny, he walked with God, and one day they walked along, and then the Lord said, you know, Enoch, you're closer to my house than to yours. You might as well just come home with me. It's a beautiful picture, and it's a beautiful picture of reconciliation. Somehow, this walk that Enoch had reconciled his sin. And that's an unusual thing, because we don't see any shedding of blood. We don't see any of that here, but he walked with God. Amos 3:3, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? And then it turned to Jude chapter 3, and we'll put it on the screen. There's a change. There's this turnaround at age 65. A turnaround comes. Something happens to Enoch at age 65. Jude 3 and verse 14. Enoch, seventh from Adam, prophesied about them. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict them of all the ungodly acts they have committed in their ungodliness, and of all the defiant words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. What's amazing is he has this son, his name is Methuselah. And remember what his name means. His death initiates, that's what Methuselah means. So you have a baby, and God encounters, something happens with him where God says, you see that son you're holding? Yes. Well, when he dies, judgment's coming on the whole earth. Whoa, so his death is going to initiate judgment? That's right, Enoch. Okay, then I'm naming him Methuselah. Can you imagine when the baby got a cold? Maybe he had a fever. He'd be like, oh God. And what happens when Methuselah dies? The flood. And God judges the earth. It is really, really amazing. What would that do for you if you knew that soon you were about to be judged? How would you live? He said, well, that's not the case. Oh, yes, it is. Hello. Ooh, yes, it is. We're all gonna stand before the judge. By the fact that you'll stand before God, it makes every second of your day count. Every decision you make counts. Every choice you make, you say, you're freaking me out. I'm trying to bring to you a fear of the Lord so you don't on that day be like, why didn't somebody tell me? I'm telling you now. Every day counts. Come on, give him praise. That was really weak. Let's try it again. Come on, let's give him praise. Amen. And so Enoch walked with God. It's day-by-day fellowship in the face of God, walking with him, and then God just took him home. Most people have a utilitarian relationship with God. A what? A utilitarian relationship with God. When they're in great need, they call on him. It's like a dentist. It's like a dentist. Now, God bless all the dentists. Amen. But like if I had a tooth problem, let me just tell you, if I had a tooth problem, I would be getting help. When? Today. Anybody ever had like a tooth problem? I mean, you know, you go past, you know, Tylenol, you go past all of that, you're just like, oh, I mean, and anybody ever had it like that? I mean, it's like, you know what, Monday, you're not going to work, you're going to the dentist. And if you can't get to the dentist, you're going to find a dentist that can take you. It's an emergency. Listen, if you can't fix that tooth, you're going to ER, you're going to get an injection in your jaw, you're going to do whatever it takes. And that's the way lots of people have their relationship with the Lord. They're like, when it hurts, then I come and I seek him. When I need help, I come and I seek him. You treat him like a dentist, utilitarian relationship. That is not the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to walk with him. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. Oh, the joy we share as we tarry there. No others ever known. Do you have a walk like that? Or do you have a dentist walk? Don't treat God like he's a dentist. Walk with him. Can you say amen? He pleased God. He pleased God. Wow, are you pleasing him? He said, well, I've come to church. That's pleasing to him. How did he please God? By faith. How? By faith. Faith is the only way you can please God. Worship team, please. It's this picture also of the New Testament believer, what it means to believe in Jesus. John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Now, to believe biblically means to receive. It doesn't just mean to have a thought about it being true. It's to have a thought about it being true, yes, and then taking that and making it personal. Listen, if you're not born again, if you're not born twice, you die twice. There is a death that comes, separation from God. In John 5:24, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me, words of Jesus there in red, has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment. Now that's a judgment unto condemnation. But there is a judgment for the believer. There's a judgment seat of the believer. But has passed from death to life. Okay, John 11, you all there? It's on the screen as well, verse 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Enoch never experienced death, and it's a picture of being born again, but it's a picture of the rapture also, which I'll talk about in just a moment. Rapture you won't find in Scripture, but it's called the catching away. Parousia, I think, is the Greek word. Parousia is the Greek word for that. Somebody said, well, there's no rapture in the Bible. No, there isn't, and you're not going to find Trinity in the Bible either. Jehovah's Witnesses love reminding you of that. Of course, it's theology. It's just a theological word coined by some of their early church fathers. It's easily destroyed through proving there is a three-in-one God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And there is a catching away. There is a rapture called, we call it the rapture, the catching away. Turn with me, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, before I move on, the only way that you're going to make it to heaven is not by surrendering your body to the flames. It's not by giving all that you have to the poor. It's by being born again. The only sin that God cannot, will not, cannot, by his own character. The only sin he can't forgive you is not receiving his Son as your Lord and your Savior. How do you receive him? You repent. You believe that he died in your place. You deserve death. The wages of sin is death. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Back to the universal doctrine of the depravity of man. All mankind, men and women, mankind, all mankind is separated from God from the moment Adam and Eve disobeyed. But sin entered the world through the first Adam and his disobedience. And sin left through the last Adam. His name is Jesus. And to all who believe on him. And if you believe on him and you've repented of your sin, he takes it away. He washes you. Though your sins be as scarlet, he makes them as white as snow. Though your sins be crimson like blood, he makes them as white as wool. Oh, the blood. It's nothing but the blood can wash away your sin. You want to walk with God? Provision's been made. Provision's been made for you. It's been made for me. But most of you don't. Most of us, I should say. And I'm going to include myself. There's another level. There's another level of walking with the Lord. You'd be like, well, I walk with him. Uh-huh. There is no man, the Bible says, has reached up to receive all that he has to offer. He gives his spirit to you. You could walk with him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Enoch was a forerunner. He's a forerunner of a New Testament believer. And he's a forerunner of the rapture, the catching away of the church. Watch this. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. That's that word right there, parousia. Together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. Here's a group of people that will one day be brought in, out, caught away with the Lord. You'll be alive and in one moment. It's called the rapture. It's not some random group. It's a group of people that walk with the Lord. I don't know if I'm going to live long enough to see that, but I don't think it's far off. You see the perversion as in the days of Noah, the same thing are happening. I don't think it's far off. And the truth is, well, what do I do about that, Pastor? You live like he's coming any second. You plan like he's not coming in your lifetime, and you teach your kids. You live a life of walking with the Lord. You be reconciled. Be sensitive to him. Please him. How? By faith. Obey his word. Watch the blessing of God be poured out upon you. And then one day, for those of us that are still alive, in a twinkling of an eye, we brought up to meet him in the air. Can you say amen?
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.